All right, so we're getting ready to kick off episode 39 of Dialed In. Real quick, I want to start out by saying thanks to our friends at Law Chevrolet in Buick. They do a fantastic job. Family-owned sales and service center, Boonville, Indiana. Check them out on lawautomotivegroup.net. Right now, for well-qualified buyers, 0% APR for 72 months. Crazy amount of money that they're taking off, and that's off a 2019 Silverado Crew Cab Z71. Sharp looking truck. I'm looking at it online right now. I would love to have one of those in my garage. So go see Steve, go see Dylan, the sales manager, go see Chad, their service manager, for all of your service needs. They're giving top dollar on trade, Kelly Blue Book value for all trades. So go see them guys today because, you know, they're good people. There's a ton of racers that work there. They're all great guys. They're all car guys. So you know you're going to get a fair shake. And if you buy a vehicle anywhere else besides Law Chevrolet, it ain't the tires that you're going to be kicking.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2, 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon, 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
So episode 39 is going to sound a little bit different because Zach and I are both remoting in for work. I'm in, Michigan? And Zach's at The Hill, 5K in Music City. Episode 39 is going to be a good one, though. We're going to be a little bit short, a little bit sweet, but still pretty action-packed. Kind of tell you how the week's going here, and Zach's going to kind of fill you in about what's going on at The Hill. But how's it going, man?
It's going well. It's really hot. I had a Jake Hodge kind of start to my day, actually, going racing. I had already had a wheel off the trailer last night. I got home. I'd already been working on the car for a few hours, got it back from Poseyville at Dad's shop to Evansville so I could leave from there and make my drive a little bit shorter in the morning. When I went to the trailer door, I smelled something smelled hot and went over to that wheel that was the closest to me and, could smell. It smelled like something was burning, but could not touch the wheel. It was that hot. So I didn't really figure I was going to go racing today, but I ended up pulled the wheel off in my yard and found that it was the brake pads fell off the shoes, basically. They were just inside the drum. So I just took the brakes off of that wheel and still got five good brakes and pulled to Nashville.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Dedication. As far as everything else, it's good showing down here. Great track, beautiful day, just really hot. They're doing some super gas, which is cool. I think they got about 20 of them, 630 index, 4/10 pro, 3/8 mile super pro, and everybody's running for a Wally tonight. So that's one of the major reasons I came down here. As far as the racing last weekend, I know we really didn't talk about anything that I did or whatever. I went to Bowling Green and had two time runs and got poured on. I mean, it rained harder than I've ever been rained on in my entire life. And it's, I definitely got my shower for the day. My racing pants, I was in the lanes. I was about five pair back when it started raining. By the time I got everything put up and got in the, got my car in the trailer and got settled, my racing pants weighed about 45 pounds. So, it was not a great day. Didn't get a race after that. Unfortunately, they actually did try to dry the track for a second, but there really wasn't any point. It rained so hard. It was ridiculous. So, but, Jake, one thing I wanted to talk about with you, before we go on with the rest of the episode is you had kind of an interesting, pass the other day with a roadster in the other lane. Why don't you tell us what you saw from your point of view? What happened?
Yeah. Johnny Bates, which is anybody that listens to the podcast probably know who Johnny Bates is. He works for Huntsville Engine. He's got a Cecil Hankins' old roadster that went through Greg Christensen's hands. But Johnny, I'm not sure what was going on. He was late on the tree, so I would want to say that he maybe had a transmission issue and maybe it kind of just happened at the finish line. I don't know. Something locked the car up and it slid at the 8th mile a little bit, and it really started getting out of shape at like maybe 1,000 foot. And normally I'll loosen my belts up and take my helmet off and stuff coasting through the shutdown. But I was kind of paying attention to him, like, wow, he looks a little out of shape. And I started grabbing the brake a little bit and grab a little bit of brake. And then he pancaked the wall on the driver's side, just flat. I'm like, wow, that's not good. And I'm like, well, all right, well, we're going to slow down a little more, make sure he's all right. And then he turns right. I mean, he didn't turn right, but the car turned right. Mm-hmm. And the thing was on two wheels. I mean, I'm looking at the passenger side of it flat in front of me, and it was hopping on two wheels. And I was waiting on it to go over. He gathered it back up. He didn't end up hitting the right lane wall, which I'm not sure how, but I was probably 8 to 10 inches from plowing into the side of him, and I'm glad that, that didn't happen. I'm glad he got out and he was all right. I know he's sore, but I'm not sure if you've been paying attention a whole lot, but the bigger story is Brandon Taylor is going through a whole lot of health problems right now. And
I saw that this morning and definitely wanted to mention that.
He had a heart attack here at the racetrack. And I know it was just him and his two kids. I think Stephanie caught a flight early this morning, but everybody, you know, whatever you believe in, well wishes, thoughts, prayers. You know, he needs all he can get. I know he's pretty down in the dumps about it. He hasn't had a great health road just to this point, and you know, this is just a setback. And he's tough; he'll get over it, but he definitely needs the support from all of us. So keep that in your thoughts. But yeah, Johnny's deal was, I mean, the car is actually okay. I think he can put a left rear wheel on it and duct tape the body crack. I think it'll be just fine. But definitely, he made fajitas later that night, so he wasn't feeling too bad. And I know his pride's a little hurt, but he's going to be all right. I believe, you know, Brandon's going to be all right from what I understand, and we'll all be all right.
Well, that's good to hear, man. And definitely thinking about Brandon. I saw that. Certainly hope that BT gets well soon. So from this, that's going to kind of wrap up our intro, and then we're going to go into the results section of Dialed In for episode 39. Before that, pretty excited about a new marketing partnership with Dialed In. So we're going to roll a commercial here from Malouk Bagaki with This Is Bracket Racing Elite. Got some pretty awesome stuff to offer Dialed In listeners. So make sure you pay attention, and we certainly appreciate Luke coming on board.
What's up, Dialed In listeners? This is Luke Bogacki for ThisIsBracketRacing.com. Do you drive the finish line more like Ray Ray Miller or more like Ray Charles? Not to worry, we can help. There are two keys to success at the finish line. The first is understanding. The second, execution. One feeds the other. Seat time alone isn't the answer unless you know exactly what it is that you're trying to accomplish and why. What we do on This Is Bracket Racing feeds into the understanding element, and understanding is what makes execution possible. One of my favorite training resources on ThisIsBracketRacing.com is a video that we put together on working on the finish line weakness. Exclusively for you, Dialed In listeners, we're giving away access to that for free. To take advantage, visit thisisbracketracing.com/dialed stripe. Again, thisisbracketracing.com/dialed for the Dialed In podcast. Stripe, all one word. Dialed, stripe.
Okay, results for this week, episode 39. Last weekend, man, it rained a lot of places, but there's some racing that did get done, especially at Chad Axford's race. Team Flat Bill Promotions, those guys putting on some great racers for bracket racers around the region. Down in Holly Springs, Mississippi this time. Had some great racing down there. I know they fought some weather challenges, but they got through it. In the Gambler's Race 5K, we saw Troy Poindexter take the win over Troy Page. That's Dallas's Page's dad getting to the final. That was awesome. Troy Poindexter getting it done in the 76 Nova, baby blue, beautiful car. The Friday 10K is Hunter Whitehead in the Butterbean Camaro. Brody Quick's ride took the win over Chad Sandlin. Bunch of podcast friends getting it done there. Then in the 15K race they had on Saturday, Drag Race Solutions 15K, was Troy Poindexter again in the 76 Nova over Timmy Elliott. My buddy Timmy there getting to the final. Man, he's having a great year. Always is tough. Timmy's one of the best out there. And in the Drag Race Solutions 10K event to finish it up on Sunday saw J.R. Barclay taking a win over Diamond Dallas Page. So Troy and Dallas both making it to the final. They are awesome folks, great family. I love talking to those guys at the racetrack. So very happy to see them both get into the final. Then that's going to take us to the Beacon Bucks event, where our esteemed guest of the evening, Brian Garner, ran amok on him in top. Ran himself in the final. So all the money went to Brian. And in Mod was Wesley Lockhart taking a win over Lucas Walker, always tough, in the car that Jake didn't quite manage to kill. And with that, we're going to go into our interview with Brian Garner, because the Sunday part of the Beacon Bucks got rained out. So enjoy the interview with Brian.
So with us today is a guy that has kind of been on Zach and I's hit list lately, because he took a Monza down to Beacon and got a winner, a runner-up, and he got to share the winner circle with three generations of his family, which is something really, really cool. I wish I could have been, you know, somewhere near the final round of that thing with him, but he stopped that pretty early. Brian Garner, man, how's it going?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Well, thanks very much.
Thanks very much for joining us, Brian. And yeah, why wouldn't you be great? Awesome weekend you had running yourself in the final. So if you can, just kind of start out by telling us about your path in the sport and kind of, you know, what's taking you to this point.
Well, I grew up rodeoing, and mm-hmm. I didn't start racing until I was 20. And my dad and my grandpa raced when I was younger. We kind of got out of it, and then I got a rodeo and said, let's go racing. And by the end of that season, my dad's got a 7-3 duster. He pulled it out of the barn, and we went back at it. And a few years later, I bought a Danny Nelson dragster and raced it for, I think, 4 seasons. And I traded it on another car I raced for 1 weekend, sold it, and didn't have my own car for a while. And I had a spare short block sitting in the garage, saw this Monza online, and I traded a short block for the Monza, and here we are.
You ever met Chad Axford? He does the same thing.
I don't get lucky enough to do it all the time like he does.
So, kind of roll us back through Beacon there. You, I don't know who made you mad on the way to the racetrack. I don't know, you know, if you get ready to file for bankruptcy or something, but you laid down a hell of a lot of good laps. I think you were the buy run in each entry back-to-back rounds. I ran your first round, which seemed to be like the only time you might have blinked all weekend, and it still wasn't bad. You were, like, we were both 6th, and I bailed because there's no way I'm driving inside of that, and you were perfect a couple different times. How did you stay level-headed going that many rounds? I mean, you went, what, you probably made 18 runs that day, right?
Yeah, I think altogether, I think I'd made right at, I think it was 17, but, you know, I was talking to my wife when I got back, and usually I've had 2 entries pretty deep in races like that a few times, and then I coughed it up pretty easily. But I actually almost didn't go. My wife had plans, and we've got a 5-month-old baby, and I'd said, well, I'm not going to go racing. So ended up Saturday morning, I get up, I said, I'm going racing. Called my dad, he met me over there with the motorhome, and he double entered. Foot brake, and I double entered in top, and I think what kept me focused was we were doing baby duty. I'd watch my son while he ran, and then we were literally running from our cars to the motorhome so he could get up there to run and I could get up there to run. And I think just not having any time to sit down and think's what kept me focused. I definitely got a little nervous there towards the end, but I don't know, my car was unbelievable, and it just worked out. It was before I realized it was over, and it went quick.
Did you sit down on those 17 runs and figure out your average reaction time?
No, I haven't yet. I'm missing 2 time slips. I've been trying to find it. I don't know if I dropped them in the pit.
Just go ahead and call them 005, because I'd really like to hear the average, because I think you were worse than 15 one time, and that's all I heard. And
I was worse. I was 20 something twice. And I think every other run I was double
up. Thank you, by the way. Thanks for the one time.
You're welcome. But no, I think I was 00 all but 1, maybe 2 other runs. I was, I think, 12 and 16.
So whenever you go to the racetrack, you know, I assume your dad brought you up in the sport, the way I kind of read things on Facebook. You remember about being younger, because Zach and I don't know if you listened to last week's episode. We had a Father's Day episode with our dads and stuff on there. What do you remember back then bringing up in the racing community, in the racing world, and, you know, what drives you to this day to keep doing that? You know, maybe you saw something in your dad back then that, you know, cool, I want to be like that.
Well, my grandpa raced, and he quit racing. He raced, I don't know, I remember watching my grandpa race maybe 5 times, and, you know, hearing stories about my dad going with my grandpa and all that. I don't know. My dad and I are very, very close. Now that I've got a son, it makes me want to do the best I can, bring him up in it, and, you know, hopefully do a lot better than I've done this far.
Brian and I, you know, was lucky enough to be on his team in the Dream Team shootout that had some guys drop, and we're kind of thrown together, and we almost got through first round.
Yeah.
So I think we had the worst draw out of all of them, except for maybe the Richardson team. But that was sure a good time. And then, and like, as we alluded to, Brian wore me out in the 20K, And then we ended up having to run again on Monday. So, but yeah.
Return favor.
Well, I mean, you know, it's only right. I do what I can to try to turn the wind light on occasionally.
I will say that is the first time I've ever beat you. So you painted it to me at I-57 numerous times.
I don't know if I've ever beat Zach Bryan, so don't feel too bad.
Well, you have, Jake, in case you're wondering.
Did you turn it red?
No, you. I think you beat me 2 days in a row at I-57 in one of their Mega Bucks weekends. Whenever you had your dragster.
Oh, that was back when I didn't suck.
I mean, so Brian, obviously, as we're sitting here, you can hear in the background where Jake sat up in Michigan, and all these huge money races and crazy amounts of money being paid out now in bracket racing. I mean, what are your thoughts on the state of our sport, where it's at right now?
It's unbelievable. I mean, I've only been in the sport for 10 years or so, and the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years to me has just blown my mind. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and now they're talking $1 million to win race next year, and it just, I mean, it's unbelievable. I think they've got to quit sometime, but it seems to keep growing. I mean, 712 entries today at Michigan, I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, you should see the grounds here. It is packed, and somehow George Hoff called me. I don't know if you know George Hoff or you've heard of him, but he called me on my way up, and he's like, hey, do you still need a parking spot? I'm thinking he saved me a spot somewhere near Egypt, I'm thinking. And luckily I got a power spot right here up front. He didn't tell me it cost me $200, but it is what it is. But luckily I got to park up front, but there's people literally, there's not 30 foot of space between two trailers here. It's that busy, and this place is every bit the size of Bowling Green and then some.
So one topic that Jake and I kicked back and forth, we did a final round on a few weeks ago, Brian, and I just kind of like asking different racers' opinion of this. And in a perfect world, in your opinion, how should a track decide lane choice or the buy run?
I mean, I like the coin flip for lane choice. And I've been where the faster car gets it, and I don't really like that.
Right.
And as far as the buy, I mean, I'm fine with the reaction time. Honestly, I don't know that I've ever seen it different.
Yeah, a lot of the ways they're doing it now is the first car in line gets lane choice. So they're trying to get an incentive for people to not lollygag and, you know, come up real, real late. But
yeah.
Zach, I was going to tell you, I'm not going to disclose any names, but he's from your area and sent me a message and said that he believes that the faster car should always get lane choice no matter what. So he just wanted to set you off a little bit.
Right. Because it's not bracket racing or anything.
Right. Brian, have you ever ran any quarter mile stuff at all?
No. I've made 2 quarter-mile passes when I had my dragster, and that was at a test and tune, and that's it.
Okay. Well, that was – I was hoping you had because – but you made passes, and did you kind of have the feeling once you go past 1,000 foot, like you're in the twilight zone, like it gets real quiet?
Yeah.
It's like kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyhow, did you split in the final round with yourself, or did you do anything at 4 cars?
Well, I kicked myself now, but I did something at 4 cars. My car was so hot, and it was starting to slow down a little bit. So I knew as soon as I didn't, I'd fall off 2 out of nowhere and look like an idiot and lose both of them at 4. So I decided to be better, get what I could when I could, and just go for a big check.
And my near-death experience is speaking of the Twilight Zone. Have you ever had somebody wreck in front of you?
No, I have not. I've had somebody catch on fire in front of me.
Have you seen the video today?
Yes, I have.
I almost had to put a parts call out for a new suit and a change of underwear because that was about 8 inches from my front bumper. I didn't know if you've ever had a near-death experience like that, but
no,
I'm not saying death because the car would have killed me. The guy that owns the car, it wouldn't have took him much long to get here from Augusta, Georgia, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, Jake, looked, from what I saw, right in front of you, of course, you were the first one there, right?
Yeah, I about ran over him.
Right.
Broke the door handle inside of the car trying to get out. Yeah, broke something.
Of course. All right, so Brian, as far as, in your opinion, which race do you want to win, and which race do maybe you have scheduled or do you have circled on your schedule that in your mind that you want to win more than others for the, well, I guess for any year, could be a race that already happened or not.
Yeah. As far as what I've got left for this year, I've always wanted to cash in at Luke's door car race. I mean, I'm sure every bracket racer's got the same dream of winning the million. As far as this year, it'd be Luke's race.
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, I feel similarly. You know, Luke's race, the way, you know, may not be the most paying race out there, but the level of competition amongst door cars there is second to none. And it's got a lot of prestige to it. You know, the year that I won, I really didn't have any business winning. I just happened to be my day, but it was, it was something that I'll never forget. And yeah, I definitely agree, because I want to get on the list twice for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been to one of those and I didn't come anywhere near winning it. I haven't had the chance to get back yet, but
of course I'd have to win it about 9 more times to tie one of the McKays.
Or Johnny Ellis for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of the same question, but in a different sense. What's the best race, the biggest race you've won in your mind? Maybe not financially, but sentimentally.
I mean, sentimentally, this one, because, you know, definitely because of my son. But looking back, I guess probably the first race I won. I'm sure you guys know Tricky Ricky Thomas. He kind of dominated my home track there for a while, and my first win was against him, and it seemed kind of special at the time. It, by far, this past weekend, having my dad and my boy there was pretty special.
So, kind of going along with the question I asked about lane choice and Byron, how about your opinion on True Start? Should that be something that's universally accepted?
I'd like to see it. I mean, I might not like it when it falls in my lane, but, I mean, yeah, I definitely think I'd like it.
Yeah, I definitely, I'm on the same page with you on that one, buddy. I think for sure, I think it's only fair. I wish that it would have taken off more than it has, but I think it takes a while for change, you know, for to really take over sometimes. Yes. So
on that topic, by the way, I have to put this in the show notes. Gateway runs True Start weekly. Rob Fisher tells me that every time I see him, because I always say nobody around here runs it. Gateway and Norwalk both run True Stars. So there we go. I've got that out of the way. The official podcast critic can get off my back. Thank you.
So, Brian, tell us about your future plans, goals. I mean, where do you see your taking your racing in the future?
Well, I definitely am looking forward to getting my kid in a junior. I just recently, in the last couple of years, moved back home.
It's not all it's cracked up to be, the junior thing, by the way.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to find that out the hard way. But I'm looking forward to it for now, at least. But, you know, I hadn't always been financially able to, you know, go to some of these bigger races and travel, and, you know, now I can, and so I'm looking forward to getting him going and us hitting the road more and just enjoying it.
Just to put you in the junior perspective here, Saturday night with dealing with my son's junior there at Beacon, about 30 seconds we got a really, really burnt hand, like second, third degree burnt hand. And I went to push him with the scooter, and a golf cart rolled out in front of us as we're pushing back to the trailer, and I stopped and he didn't. My foot was caught in it, and I dumped the scooter over on top of myself with my ankle trying to stay with his race car. So
we'll see one of the ones that got caught in a rerun situation.
Oh, yeah. And try to explain to a 7-year-old a rerun situation after he already saw his wind light come on is really rough, especially when they lose the rerun.
So, Brian, what's your favorite race day meal? Is there something that you like to eat more than anything else on race day?
No, I actually don't eat a whole lot.
That's most racers' answer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really watch what I eat too much. I usually find myself at a concession stand when I get hungry. But, you know, most days I'll go most of the whole race, if not the whole race, without eating.
What is your home track? You mentioned about being home track. Where do you call home?
Sykeston. It's Larry Jeffers track in Sykeston, Missouri.
Okay, so my question is, what in the hell was that guy doing driving back up the racetrack while the car's going down the racetrack? Where did that communication error happen?
Well, that probably doesn't need to go on the record, but that has been done since I was that those pits were sand when I started going there. And that was what you did when you won your class since I was that little. And that was Jim Wade. He's won probably 150 races there, and he's came up the track for every single one of them. And I don't know. I wasn't there. It could have been horrible, but there's a new manager in town, and it's, I mean, I can leave it at that, I guess.
Growing pains. We'll just call it that. And,
yeah.
And we'll move. If you have anybody you'd like to thank, now's the time. We're going to let you do that on record, and you can say, hey, see, look, you know, your advertising dollars not, you know, just completely wasted.
Yeah. First and foremost, I'd like to thank my dad, because without him, I couldn't. I'd never go down the track, probably not even make it to the races. He does keep some head screwed on straight and make sure my car is ready every time I go racing. And Vernon Barker. Barker's Racing and Towing in Potter Bluff, Missouri. They help me out a lot. And then Stream Brand Products Oil. I mean, their oil is awesome. I know it's not gotten out in the bracket racing community a whole lot, but hopefully it does. And it's by far the best oil I've poured in.
It's in a whole bunch of heads-up community cars, though.
Yes, it is. But it's awesome stuff.
So I know you mentioned earlier doing the rodeo stuff, and I don't know anything about rodeo at all except that the guys that do it get hurt a lot. Did you ever have any bad injuries from it?
I wouldn't say bad. I had a couple surgeries. That's actually why I got out of it.
Not bad, just surgery.
Well, I mean, like, nothing life-threatening.
Right.
Broke my wrist and shoulder or collarbone and stuff like that. But, you know, I was actually...
No big deal.
I was actually hurt, and my dad said, hey, you want to go watch some racing tonight? And I said, yeah. So we went over to Sykes and watched some racing, and we got in the truck, headed home. I said, I'm done rodeo, and let's go racing. And that's kind of where it started for me.
That's pretty well how my dirt racing ended, just exactly like that.
Yeah. If I ever quit running drag cars, if I could get in a sprint car, I'd do it tomorrow.
You know, I've always said if sprint car racing was as affordable as drag racing, it'd be all over.
Yeah. But
unfortunately, it's not. So we're going to round this thing out. What we do, or what we started doing, Zach and I, at the end of each episode, we're going to do like rapid fire. This or that. Don't hesitate. First thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Can you do it?
I'll give it my best shot.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Frosted Flakes or Fruity Pebbles?
Frosted Flakes.
Chicken or steak?
Steak.
Gas or alcohol? Not for drinking.
Alcohol.
Door car or dragster?
Door car.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
2% or whole milk?
2%.
Bananas or apples?
Bananas.
Jake or Zach?
don't do that to me.
Brian, man, thanks
neither
for coming
of them.
On. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Congratulations once again. Definitely something to be proud of. They just called up round two door cars, so I got to get moving. Thank you. Thank you once again, not for the butt whooping you put on me Saturday night at Beacon, but for being our podcast guest here in episode number 39. You know, it's been great. I think you did pretty good, and it's definitely different for, you know, just different than walking up and talking to somebody at the racetrack, as you probably found out.
Yes, it
but
is.
You did well. I'm proud of you like my little child, and we'll see you around at the racetrack.
Well, man, I appreciate you having me. It was an honor, and I had a blast.
Great job, Brian. Glad to have you on the show, buddy, and good luck, and stay safe.
Thank you. Good luck tonight, Jake.
All right, so, man, what a great interview with Brian Garner. He had awesome racing results from Paducah last weekend. So he's a great guy, obviously, and we wish him a ton of success. Before we get to the final round, which we will hear in just a minute, we are going to run our second ad from Luke Bogacki. So make sure you pay attention, because this one's different than the first one and could include special offers for Dialed In listeners.
What's up, Dialed In listeners? This is Luke Bogacki for ThisIsBracketRacing.com. Listen, you have invested a ton of time, energy, resources into your racing operations. You deserve to see a return on that investment in terms of win lights. That's where we come in. Specifically in this day and age of ultra-competitive 8th-mile bracket competition, our cars are far better than we are. I can go dead on. You can go dead on. Seemingly every car at the racetrack can go dead on. The starting line is the biggest variable. In fact, I would argue that it's not close. You need to hit the tree. That matters nearly every round and at every level of competition. I can help. Exclusively for you, Dialed In listeners, we're giving away one of our best reaction time trainings for free. It's about determining how tight you can and should set up on the tree to take advantage of your starting line skills while guarding against throwing it all away with a red light. Check it out. Again, it's free at thisisbracketracing.com/dialedtree. Again, that's thisisbracketracing.com/dialed, as in dialed in podcast, tree, all one word. thisisbracketracing.com/dialedtree.
All right. So our in-motion solutions final round discussion, Zach. How about buybacks when you have 700 cars?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it says it on the flyer. Okay. I mean, you saw this has been handled different ways before. I mean, you know, when I was at the Million, I know the Million's done that before with the amount of cars that they've had there, 600 plus. They have, you know, they've done away with buybacks.
The Million's flyer reads, more than 400 entries, no buybacks.
Okay.
Now listen.
I didn't realize that.
This is where I see this, okay? And it might even take you off guard a little bit here. I've watched Kyle get his teeth kicked in on races where he loses $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, okay?
Right.
Or more. And I have no shame in saying I sent him a message and said, this is your chance to make money one time. This is a chance to recoup a lot of that you lost. Yes, they're going to call you greedy, but you stuck to the flyer just like you. They grill you for not sticking to the flyer. And the only people that complain about having buybacks are the people that have already won round one. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right.
They're exactly. Sitting there waiting on round two. The people that complain about buybacks, the guys that don't need them, that have already been through and for sure know they don't need them. I told him straight up, I said, this is your chance to make money, profit from a race, and yes, you have to keep going because you already have committed X amount of races after this. It's a lot of money. People are spending a lot of money here. At the same time, mm-hmm. he's lost a lot.
Right.
But next year, we'll have to have a clause on there over X amount of entries, no buybacks. And I understand Wednesday only a $20,000 buybacks on Wednesday, even though, you know, it was behind the eight ball even on Wednesday. And 622 entries in the 525,000 race, you have to have buybacks. You can't have people in there for $3,000 for two hits and not have a chance to buy back. But if you're grilling him, please, I'm not taking sides. I'm not playing favorites. You know, if anybody, I'm one of the biggest critics. Absolutely. That's not a secret. I'm okay with saying that. At the same time, I've stepped back and watched him lose money. Like, I watched him two events back-to-back lose almost $100,000, and he paid it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, absolutely, you have to have that clause on the flyer. And honestly, nobody has any right to say anything because they're following the flyer.
Right.
I mean, we're spoiled. We've been racing since Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The racetrack's been going nonstop since Wednesday morning. And we've got, you know, the only thing that really bothers me is I feel terrible for the track staff. Yes, mm-hmm. they've been rotating. They've been taking turns doing this and that. But you can only rotate the two spare people you have so many times. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not sure Wes Buck listens to this, but Samuel Peterson deserves every bit of the 30 under 30 nomination. Jason Peterson is the track manager here, the general manager at US 131. And mm-hmm. he had an incident on a gator and he tore his Achilles broke his fibia and tibia. And as Samuel stepped up, you know, he's taking care of all the fuel sales, the track prep, fuel delivery, burnout box, starting line, tower, whatever he needs to do. And the kid's 17.
Wow.
Working side by side with the drag strip manager, Jay Gilman. And, I mean, it's no secret, Jay's up there in age, but Jay's been doing this a long time. And Samuel, yes, sir, no, sir, anything you need, it's done. So, a big shout out to everybody, the staff here at 131. They're doing incredible. I mean, we've been racing 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, come back around, back on the track at 9, and Samuel's in the tractor at 7:30 prepping the racetrack. So, mm-hmm. definitely kudos to them. This is a marathon. This is a longer race than the U.S. Nationals, okay? That's, we got to put that in perspective. The biggest drag race, the most prestigious drag race ever. This race is probably 20 hours longer of actual racing. So we're very fortunate. You're not going to complain about buybacks if you lose round one. You're not.
Right. I completely agree. And if I was there and if I lost, I'd be in line to buy it back for sure to get my shot at it. I mean, Kyle's paying out crazy money. You know, the racers have showed out, and luckily the weather's been good for everybody. So, yeah, a lot of people complain about, like you said, a lot of them aren't even there. So that's another thing. So, I mean, if you're not there, then you can't really say anything. If you show up and you put your money down, then you can have an opinion. But still, he's still doing what he, like you said, he's running what he said on the flyer. And, you know, everybody's getting their fair shot at exactly what the race said it was going to be that they signed up for. And, man, you know, I wish I could have went. We were planning on it. And anyway, lucky to be doing what I'm doing also. Very happy to be doing what I'm doing as well. So.
And Motor Mania TV is the best in the business, hands freaking down.
It's been awesome.
Joanne. It's just Mark and Joanne here, and they have been. Mark is up every morning, like on Sunday morning. He gets up and does his anchor check show. I mean, he's up an hour past when the last race car goes on the track, and he's up an hour and a half, 2 hours before the first race car goes down, getting things set up. And that beats on you. You know, he's not 25 anymore. He's not old. I'm not saying he's old, but that will wear you out. So. If you see them on Facebook interacting, just tell them thanks. If you see any of the track staff, if you're a regular at 131, say, hey, guys, you know, thanks. That was a lot of work. You know, proud of you, appreciate you, whatever. They deserve all the recognition. So with that being said, I think we can put a bow on episode 39, Zach. I know it's kind of been a little bit different for both of us. We're both remoting into this. Audio is a little bit wonky on each side, but it's all right. We got it done. We got it through. And episode 39, man, is a good one. We'll be back for number 40 next week. And I would assume we have the $525,000 winner on the show. Hopefully we had him on the show 39 episodes in a row now. But we'll see here.
Yep. Oh, so, man, best of luck to you. Be safe, most importantly. And we will see everybody next week for episode 40. So, everybody, remember, we have stickers for sale, $10. Still got a stack of them, so... ready to send them out, just hit me up, and $10 will get you a set of dialed in stickers.
There you go. We'll see you in the staging leagues.